Good afternoon and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you at home or in your car or in your place of business. Today we have a very special guest with us by the name of Howard Lyman. And for those of you who are not familiar with Howard Lyman, he has done quite an extensive work in bringing to knowledge the concept about the mad cow disease. And he was a family farmer for almost 40 years. And, you know, there was a turning point in his life and when he got sick in 1979, and he began to speak for the American farmer. And I'm going to have Mr. Lyman to speak with us in just a minute, but I want to share this text of Scripture. The Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So we have a biblical mandate or perspective from which we speak. God desires for us to be healthy and happy. And anything that hinders the process of building health detracts from our service that we owe to our Creator. Mr. Lyman, we'd like to welcome you. Most of our listeners perhaps heard about the case on the Oprah Winfrey show on which you were years ago. And so, Mr. Lyman, welcome to our Better Living Radio program today.
Well, Peter, it's a great joy to be with you today.
Yes, it's a privilege. I know you're a very difficult man to pin down for 20 minutes, and we're just so privileged to have you to address our listening audience. And I guess what we'd like to talk about, the thing that seems to have brought you to the forefront, change from the current way of practicing farming to a better way. What would you have to say about that?
Well, I think the first thing that the listeners ought to focus on is where are we as a nation today? When you stop and look at the fact that one out of every two Americans today is dying of heart disease, one out of three has cancer, one out of four is dying of cancer, that we have two out of every three Americans today considered to be overweight or obese, I think that you need to go back to Genesis, and it says, you know, that my people shall eat from the garden. The fact of it is that Americans today have the worst diet in the world. It's coming home to haunt us. And I think we should pay some attention to what Sister White had to say, diet and counsels. And when we take a look at those kinds of things, there is no doubt in my mind we can do much better tomorrow than what we're doing today.
Absolutely. So there is indeed a room for improvement. And sometimes in some community, if people are not aware of what's going on, even though people might be dropping and dying around about us, we tend to not want to make changes. This is the way I was brought up. So we need some motivation. We need some help to see why should we make changes in our diet to improve our diet and lifestyle.
Well, you know, if we stop and take a look at the study that was done at Loma Linda University when they found that people that eat a vegetarian diet live 7 to 9 years longer than people on the standard American diet. When they did a study in Finland, people that were eating a vegan diet, no animal products at all, were living up to 15 years longer. It is not only, Peter, about living longer. It's about living better. You know, the first thing that we have to focus on, I believe, is that the Lord did not build any junk. And
Absolutely.
Our bodies were designed to last 120 years.
Absolutely.
We're out there right now doing handstands that, you know, women now are living to be 79 years old. We're just scratching the surface of what is possible. But we need to go back and look at the fact that when the Creator designed our bodies, He designed them to subsist on plants, not animals. And so when we start putting animal products into our diet, we are erasing year after year of that longevity that we were guaranteed by the Creator if we did things correctly. So I would say to the listeners that are out there today, just stop and take a look at myself, for example. You know, I was one of the first 300-pound football players in North America. never met an animal product I wouldn't stuff down my throat because I thought I needed that protein, that iron, to go out on the field and knock the other guy down. When I quit playing football, I got well over 300 pounds. My blood pressure was sky high. My cholesterol was over 300. I'd sit down and have lunch, and my nose would bleed.
Wow.
I knew at that time that I wasn't going to live very long if I didn't change my diet, but I was from Montana. I'd rather be caught riding a stolen horse than admit to somebody I was thinking about becoming a vegetarian. But I knew I wasn't going to live very long if I didn't make a change, and so I became the world's worst vegetarian. Lettuce and dairy products were my main staples. I lost some weight. My blood pressure went down slightly. My cholesterol went down slightly, and I thought, wow, if I can do that, being the world's worst vegetarian, just think what I could do if I became vegan, and I could spell vegan. Peter, I lost 130 pounds. My blood pressure went from sky high to normal. My cholesterol from 300 to 135. I believe I saved my life by
Absolutely.
Changing my diet.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know at some point you spent about 5 years on Capitol Hill lobbying for the farmers' union there, and you made some success in helping to pass some laws that sort of bring some changes. But since that time, you have left that post, and you have been going around North America and perhaps the world educating people on getting back to the Creator's diet.
Now, no, Peter, I did spend 5 years on Capitol Hill, and it was a very eye-opening experience. And I will tell you that I learned a thing that was called the golden rule. Them that got the gold are making the rules. So when I said to my friends, I said, you know, this game is rigged. We're never going to win on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. And they laughed at me and said, well, what are you going to do? Go talk to the people? And I said, yeah. You know, the fact of it is about 80% of the people out there today, Peter, are brain dead. They're part of the herd. They're following nose to tail.
Absolutely.
What we need to do is talk to the people that are still thinking. When the majority of the people that are thinking decide to change their diet, to go in the right direction, the herd will follow.
Absolutely.
I spend my time going out and talking to people, you know, not about everybody becoming a flaming vegan, but what I'm talking to them about is doing better tomorrow than what they're doing today.
Right.
That's simple enough. And the path is so visible if you actually focus your attention on it. You know, I go back to what it says in Genesis. My people will eat from the garden. Only McDonald's believe that hamburgers grow on trees. So we need to go and realize that our bodies will do the best, will do the best service for the Lord if we fuel them with the proper food, and that proper food is plant-based. There's no doubt in my mind or what it's done for me. You know, I used to have 10 of my friends in Montana. We were all in the same business, about the same age, and they used to come to my house. Of those 10, I'm the only plant eater. And the fact of it is, I'm the only one that hasn't had cancer, heart disease, or died, and 7 out of my 10 friends have already died. So it is happening around us. We need to focus on it and to realize that we don't have to pass laws. We don't have to go out and march and sign protests. What we need to do is to realize that the fork is the most dangerous weapon in the arsenal of the Homo sapiens. We're digging more graves with our fork than any other tool.
And when we think about that, changes are sometimes so difficult. Habits once formed, people are trapped in the habits of life. Their foreparents ate this way, and all their friends are eating this way. And somehow it seems like people need to realize that we will die if we continue to eat one at a time, one member of the family, and then the next one and the next one. And if there's no changes, the entire family is going to die off.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, it's happening around us, and we get the idea that, well, everybody's doing it, so it must be right.
Right.
That's not the case. You look at people that are eating correctly, and you find, for example, a child that is raised on a plant-based diet will have 16 additional IQ points compared to one that is raised on the standard American diet. So there's a big difference.
There's a big
difference. You wonder why it is that we have so many kids today with ADD, and they're giving kids drugs in school right now for behavioral problems. Maybe we ought to look at what we're feeding them. The average 7-year-old child in America today is eating over 6 hamburgers a week. A hamburger is 40 to 60% good old greasy yellow fat. Peter, what we are doing to our kids in many cases today is almost criminal in what we are feeding them.
Wow. And when you think about it, earlier on in the years, we heard about mad cow disease. Do we still have a problem or any risk as pertained to that particular disease today?
Oh, absolutely. We right now, I believe, have a governmental approach, which is don't look, don't find. They want to tell everybody that they're out there looking for this disease. I believe they're testing the wrong animals, and the reason they're testing the wrong ones at the wrong age is because they don't want to find it. They're more interested in the economics of the industry than they are the safety of the consumers. So I believe that we have mad cow disease in North America. I believe that we have a goodly number of people that are infected today, and remember that it is 100% fatal from the time you're infected until you may die. It can be anywhere from 10 to 40 years. If we look at the number of people today, we have 4.5 million people diagnosed in America today with Alzheimer's. Studies that were done in Pittsburgh Veterans Hospital and Yale University indicate anywhere from 5.5 to 13% of the people diagnosed with Alzheimer's today really have the human form of mad cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. If that is the case, and if that is what's happening nationwide, if we say just 10% of the cases of Alzheimer's are misdiagnosed, that means that there's somewhere around 450,000 cases. That's a big difference from what our government is trying to tell us, that we have 1 in a million in Americans that have the CJD. So, Peter, do I believe that we have mad cow disease in the U.S.? Yes. Do I believe we're still infecting the American population? Yes. Can we do better? Yes. But we will not do it until we educate the American people to start doing some thinking about what they're eating.
Absolutely. Now, I know earlier it was brought forth that the farmers were feeding the cattle meat from other animals. In other words, making the cattle cannibals. Is that practice being carried on in America today still?
Well, we've actually passed regulations now. We're not supposed to feed cows, sheep, and goats back to cows, sheep, and goats, but we're still feeding pigs, chickens, turkeys, horses, roadkill, dogs, and cats back to cows. We're feeding ground-up cows back to pigs, chickens, turkeys, horses. So I would say that the overwhelming majority of animals fed in factory feedlots today are still consuming animal products in the form of ground-up animals. Should we be doing that? No. If we find countries like England, one of the first things they found before they could get on top of this issue is that they had to cease feeding all ground-up animals back to their food animals. We haven't done that yet. I think we are still amplifying mad cow disease in North America because of our actions, and I think we're treating the American consumers as that they really don't matter, because I think that when we end up taking an animal that was designed by the maker as an absolute herbivore like a cow, and feed them ground-up animals, that's wrong. And then on top of that, we feed them things like chicken manure. That gives you a whole different look at finger-licking good.
Okay, so we're still having animals being fed animal. How could it possibly be said then that our risk of mad cow disease is, you know, zero to are very small when the problem is relating to feeding animals animal?
Well, you have to remember what the father of public relations, Joseph Goebbels, said: find the biggest lie you can find, tell it often enough, and people will start to believe it. The idea of getting the American consumer to believe that our government is on top of the issue, that they really care about the consumer more than they care about the economics of the issue, mm-hmm. I believe those things are absolutely backwards. And I believe that our government, what they're doing, is wrong, and they're doing it because more of the love of money than they are of the love of the people.
Now, are we still getting beef from foreign countries?
Oh, sure. We're still importing beef from other countries. Fact of it is that more countries today won't take our meat than countries that we won't take theirs, because mm-hmm. they believe that our way of producing beef is wrong, and we have lost billions of dollars of sales because our government would not take the most common sense approaches and ban the feeding of ground-up animals being fed back to our cattle.
So then the risk when a person eat meat, then the risk is quite high that they might come down with this particular disease then?
Well, we have to remember that it only takes the amount of infected material about the size of a grain of sand to infect a human. Now, I don't want the listeners out there today to believe that everybody that is eating meat is going to come down with mad cow disease.
Right.
But I would say that everybody that's eating meat today is exposing themselves to the risk that what they're eating would have that one grain of sand that is in it. And remember that every person that becomes infected, it will take anywhere from 10 to 40 years before that disease will manifest itself into something that appears much like Alzheimer's, but it is 100% fatal. Mm. So my advice to anyone out there today, that if you're concerned about putting yourself at risk like that, the best way to absolve yourself from that problem is do not eat animal flesh.
Mm. Well, I think that is sound advice. You know, in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, God gave us the diet which he chose for us. It says, Genesis 1, 29, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Okay, and so in a nutshell, that's fruits, grains, and nuts God gave to us in our original state for our diet.
There's no doubt about that, Peter, and you read that, it's about as clear as you can have as a roadmap on what we should be eating. And if you want to look at the healthiest people on the planet today, they are the ones that are eating a plant-based diet, grains, fruits, legumes, and those people have the least amount of risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and the list goes on and on. You can save yourself by changing what you put on your fork.
Now, we'd like to give out your website as we come to a close in this next few seconds here. For people who want more information, they can visit your website at madcowboy.com, right?
That's right, madcowboy.com. You can go on my website. You can sign up for my free electronic newsletter. We have books, DVDs that are available for purchase there. And you can contact me if there's anything I can do to make your life better.
Okay, thank you very much. Howard, and we appreciate you being able to spend this time with us. Certainly, we'll try to get you back on the air with us in the near future.